So we're going to pray right now for Pastor John. And we're going to trust that God motivates us to walk more after him. Amen? You know, because if we're not following him, we're going in the wrong direction. So let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for the different seasons in our lives. And as it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a season for this, and there's a season for that, and there's a season for this. And Lord, we pray that in this season that you would make yourself more manifest in our lives in a powerful way. Lord, that in this season that we would step up to the plate and we would say, Lord, here I am, use me. In this season, we would take your word and we would share it with those who have never heard it, who have heard it, maybe have walked away. And then in this season, we would walk unto maturity and completeness and bring you glory and honor in everything that we do. Now we lift up Pastor John as he brings forth your word here today. Lord, bless it, sanctify it, anoint it, and bring it forth as it truly is meant to be spoken under the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in our pastor. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you noticed over the last couple months or so, I've been talking quite a bit about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And God's word makes it, his word makes it very clear to us that we can go in one or two directions. And we can be conformed to this world and made in its image, the image of this world. And we know this world, by the way, is under the world system, is under the influence of the devil, the demonic realm. And we don't want to be conformed to that. And, you know, it's always trying to push us and mold us into its image. Or we can allow God to work in our lives through the Holy Spirit, and we can be then conformed to the image of Christ. The much better alternative. Our theme scripture has been Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we need to remember that there is a raging battle going on right up here in our mind all the time. This is where the devil works his hardest, is right in our thought life, always trying to convince us twist us and make us turn back to those old ways, to the ways of the world, and he wants to pull us away from the truth of God's word and the love of God. So he's always working up here. This is the battleground area. And as always, we have a choice. We have a choice in how we are going to respond. We can let our mind be controlled by that sinful nature, or we can allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life and be led by the Spirit and moved by God's power. So it doesn't seem like it would take a lot of thought or effort to make that decision to choose the right one. I mean, it seems pretty obvious to us as Christians, you know, that it's the best way for us should be to follow after God. I mean, and I'm sure we all think that. We all tell ourselves, that's what I'm going to do. That's the right way. That's what I'm going to do. But there's so many times that we find ourselves being drawn back into the world and into that worldly way of thinking and into that world system again. And why is that? Well, Jesus gives us some insight into exactly what's going on there. He says tells us this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, where they're at the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you remember, he asked his disciples to pray for him while he went off ahead of them and prayed. But his disciples couldn't even stay awake 1 hour to pray for him. You remember that? Here he's going through the toughest time in his life. He's about to be crucified. He's in the garden over there like sweating, not bricks, but sweating blood. And you know, he's like really going through the ringer. He said he felt like he was at the point of death. It was so bad that, you know, that he was going through this emotional time, knowing that he had to give up his life and take all the burden and all the sin, and he asks his father, Father, is there, if there's any other way. But there wasn't. And he said, well, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. And he goes back and he finds his disciples sleeping, and he tells them again, please stay up and pray for me. This is a tough time. And what did he end up saying to them? He knew that they wanted to do it, and so he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's why we keep finding ourselves getting sucked back in. Because even though in our spirit we are not only willing, we're desirous, we want to go after the things of God, but we keep finding ourselves slipping back. And I'm sure we've all noticed that no matter how sincere we are, whenever we make those promises to God or we try to turn that thing around, no matter how sincere we are, there's been many times, I'm sure, every one of us have found ourselves drawn back into the ways of this world. And that leads me to what I want to talk about today, and that's that if we want to renew our mind, if we want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we need to have a disciplined life. And as soon as I say the word discipline, a lot of times people think like, oh no, discipline. That's all I want to hear about is being disciplined. And the image of a disciplined life is somebody who is sort of uptight or somebody who's a drag to be around sometimes, or, you know, basically they just don't have any fun. Well, that is not what we're talking about at all. And you know what it is, why we think that? Because that's a deception of the enemy. The devil tells us we don't need to be disciplined or discipled. We're an adult. We have our own rights. We have what we want to do. We don't need anybody to tell us what to do. This is the kind of thinking that's constantly being poured into our head, not only by the devil himself, but by our flesh, and by every billboard, every commercial, every advertisement, everything is always trying to tell us, do your thing. Do what you want to do. It's your thing, you know. But the reality is almost exactly the opposite. You know, a disciplined life is not boring. It's not no fun. It's not, you know, a drag. It's almost exactly the opposite of what we would think. An undisciplined life is the life that is filled with chaos. Think about that. An undisciplined life is full of problems. It has no direction, or it seems many times out of control, that it's bankrupt and often leads to bankruptcy, literally, when there's no discipline with our spending. There's no discipline in our eating. There's no discipline in our ordering our life. No discipline in our time. No discipline in taking care of our house or our children or whatever. You think about it. If we have no discipline in any area of our life, that area of our life is going to be chaotic. It's going to be, and if our whole life is undisciplined, it's a disaster waiting to happen on any given day. And I'm sure you might have known people like that at sometimes. You come around them, and you even if you just come around them, you feel like, what am I going to get sucked into? That's really what that is it's a life of rebellion against God's truth and a rejection, or maybe just not having the knowledge of godly principles. And so they either don't know about it or don't want to know about it or flat out rebel against it. And that leads to an undisciplined, chaotic life. And when you see the reality of that up close, you're with somebody who has that kind of life, you got to be thinking to yourself, man, I don't want to have to live my life like that. So the problem with discipline or being discipled is it's our perception. It comes down to perception. We think of discipline as sort of a punishment. Because, well, I'm going to discipline my kids. So we think right away, well, it's a punishment. But God looks at it in a much deeper, a much more loving way. Hebrews 12, 6 says that the Lord disciplines those he loves. He punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So God disciplines, or you could say disciples us, so that we can avoid the real punishment, which is what? Hell. The discipline the Bible talks about has to do with training and teaching and rebuking and correcting and instruction and guiding someone into the path of righteousness where there will be blessings. God's discipline is actually an act of love. And that's, in fact, how our discipline towards our children should be, an act of love. Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father does with the son he delights in." That is why it's so important for parents to discipline their children. But not harshly. Not being mean, not with no purpose, not sporadic, not this day and not that day, you know, back and forth, no order to it. We even have to be disciplined in our discipline. Because we want to teach it the right way, and we need to share the love also during that time. And the truth, explaining why. Why are we doing this? Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline." So to discipline our children is to share really God with them, God's truth with them, and guide them throughout their life into truth. Worldly, liberal-minded thinking feels, and that's a key word, feels that it's not right to discipline a child. You should never do that because it doesn't, you know, seem right, doesn't feel right. But it is right. It's God's word. Not abuse, never abuse, but godly discipline. If our children don't understand and receive discipline as something good and godly for their benefit, then they're going to have a hard time as they grow up and become an adult, not only to be able to accept God and accept the hard times of life, but even it's going to be hard for them to hold down a job. It's going to be hard for them to maintain and pay bills, to do this and to do that. Everything. If there's no discipline in their life. From our youth, we need to be corrected and trained in righteousness. If we have no limits, no boundaries, no goals, no objectives, no discipline, not only will our children grow up chaotic, in trouble, but so will we. It's easy to see, if you start thinking about it, it's easy to see the importance of discipline. What's not so easy to see, though, is that even as adults, we need to be disciplined. Even as adults, we need to be disciplined. We have a tendency to think that I'm over 21, I can do what I want. I'm over 18, I'm 18, I can do what I want. Isn't that what you thought, especially when you were 18? I'm 18 now, you can't tell me anymore, I'm going to do what I want. Well, fine, then I'm going to do what I want. Bye. And we're encouraged, if you think about it, the world is constantly encouraging us to be undisciplined. It spend, 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 do this, do that. You know, billboards promote the wonder, supposed beauty of gambling and drinking and partying and getting high. And, you know, movies are always pushing, you know, illicit or marriage, sex outside of marriage and violence. And the music these days is promoting suicide and death and rebellion and hatred towards people, towards police, towards authority. I mean, there's just so much out there. The food ads tell us, you know, to take a break and eat our junk food, you know, and live on that. They would love that. And designers, you try to go out and buy a nice dress for a 12, 13, 14-year-old girls, you're ashamed, you're embarrassed sometimes by what you see when they try it on. The internet, the biggest thing of the internet is pornography. It's out there, it's everywhere. Pushers are out there, people are out there selling drugs, both legal and illegal drugs. They sell the legal drugs on the street, so they end up even being illegal. Everywhere we turn, it's feed that flesh, feed that flesh. Feed me, you know. And our own sinful nature, this self, this flesh that we have, is wanting to go right along with that. So where does it end? Where does it end? In this world system that we see around us, it's like a propaganda machine for the devil himself, trying to drag us back. And our flesh wants to jump in head first. So here we are in the midst of all this temptation. So this is where we have to stop and take the time and listen for that still, small voice. The voice of God, the voice of reason, that wants to lead us into truth, into peace, and into life. And that's the voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. There's somebody out there, and his name is Jesus, who is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's telling us, calling us to follow him. Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to help us to be able to discipline our mind and our thoughts and our actions, everything. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it tells us that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So this is what God is telling us, that not only that we should do, but that we can do. The Word of God will destroy all the arguments, all the pretensions of everything around us in the world. And God wants to give us that ability, that anointing, that power to take those thoughts captive and our thoughts captive, instead of letting them wander and float and testing and trying and thinking about all these different things of the world, to take our thought life captive. You know, get control of it is what he's saying, and point it in the right direction. So taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. If we want to escape the corruption of this world, that's what we have to do. If we want to spend eternity in heaven, that's what we have to do. We have to die to self. That's what the Word of God tells us. To take all of our selfish thoughts and to make those selfish thoughts, those thoughts that only care about us, and begin thinking about what would Jesus want? What does God want me to do? So we turn all the attention from this flesh, this carnal nature that we know wants it all, that everything in the world is trying to get it to respond to, and our job now is to take that with what's in us, take our real us, the spirit within us, and begin to focus on Christ and the things of Christ. Matthew 16, 24 through 27 says, Jesus talking, and he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now when he says, whoever wants to be my disciple, he's saying, that means you're going to walk in his discipline. That's what disciple and discipline come from, the same word. They're the same idea. To be a disciple means to be disciplined under someone, to live under that authority. And so if we want to be a disciple of Christ, we have to, you know, live under the rule of his word, his truth. So whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. See, when we say we lose it, all we're saying is the flesh can't do what it wants anymore. We're getting control of that now. So we lose that freedom for this carnal nature, the fleshly nature. And then what we do, but it says, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. See, that's when we actually really find ourselves. That's when we find out who God created us to be. That's where the joy and the love and the peace and the happiness, the fulfillment all comes in. Not, we don't find out who we really are when we pour ourselves down a bottle of perversion. For whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what they have done. Jesus is saying that we need to deny ourselves, deny that self, that carnal self, that's filled with carnal, lustly, worldly passions. For the things, the appetites, the carnal appetites that you know are there. And if we were to just totally let ourselves go, we would destroy ourselves. And money's is not the answer. As we can see, just in the last 2 weeks, two very famous people committed suicide this past week. Both of them multimillionaires. There's no way our minds are going to be able to be renewed if we're always giving ourselves in to those worldly, fleshly temptations. The goal is we're trying to get our mind aligned with God's, to become like Christ. So that's where discipline comes in. And discipline always has two parts. Number one is overcoming the negative or the evil desires. And then number two is taking in the good or the positive desires. And Jesus said it himself when he said, deny yourself and follow me. Deny yourself is the negative. Follow Christ is the positive. So this is what it all comes down to. This is where the rubber meets the road. In the verse we just read, Jesus made this statement, whoever wants to be my disciple. Whoever wants to be my disciple. What does it mean? It means that we have to be disciplined under the tutelage or the training, the leading of Christ or the Holy Spirit, to follow after or to learn from a particular person. And for us, in this case, it's Jesus. Jesus said that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross. So that means we need to quit running around and chasing after all the things that are laid out there. There's so many things in this world that we can focus on. And it's not that they're all bad. I don't mean that at all. There's many, many good things in the world, things that we need to take care of, things that we need to do, but we can never put those things before Christ. First and foremost, it's Christ. That's what discipline is all about, learning how to not get sidetracked. See, we're on a path. We're walking on this path. We have a goal to move along that path, the course that's been marked out for us by Jesus Christ, and to be trained to follow that path. That's what we want. We want God. We want to be discipled. We want the Word of God to come into our life. We want to be able to learn and understand and know how to walk on the path or the road or the course that God has marked out for us. I love it when Paul says to Titus in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and wealthy passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. So that was the original Just Say No campaign. No to sin. It's really, that's it. No to sin. And we're told here that the ability to say no is a gift from God, because our flesh doesn't want to say no. So God says there, it said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, and it teaches us to say no. So this gift, which grace is a gift, something we don't deserve, we get it from God. It's this power within us that God puts in us, this grace, and it now gives us the ability to say no to that very thing that is no good for us, that we recognize is no good for us as we are led by the Spirit, but that our flesh still says, yeah, but I'd sure like to try it. And that's a continuous battle throughout our life. But we have this power within us that can teach us to say no all the time. So God will teach us, God will show us through the power of His Holy Spirit to learn how to live this disciplined life. He puts His strength in us, His power in us, and that's how we become true disciples. That's how He's discipling us. Remember, God disciplines those He loves. So God loves us so much that He sacrificed His Son for us. We know that, right? So now He wants us to understand that this discipline that He wants us to be able to walk in to be this disciple is for our benefit. It's for our good, for our protection, for our blessing. Letting God teach us and letting Him train us and let Him disciple us through His Word, by His Spirit, and then doing our part, which is the denying self. We have a part to play in this too. Remember that? We were talking about that last week. Bob was with sanctification. You know, we have our part to do. It's not all done just because we became a Christian. Now we have this whole lifetime of being sanctified, where we are constantly changing, and it's part of this process of discipline. Self-discipline, self-control, leading a disciplined life, taking up our cross, following Christ. So if we as Christians will work as hard at being a Christian as we work getting ahead in life, as we work fixing up our home or taking care of our car or, you know, making money or whatever it is, there's a lot of things that we put a lot of time and effort into. We need to put that same amount or more, the most, in fact, effort into becoming the Christian that God has called us to be. God has created us to be world changers, to change the world around us, to change our world around us. We all have a sphere of influence, every one of us. And we have the ability, through the power of God within us, to touch people's lives as we are led by God, and to speak out the truth when it needs to be spoken out, to act out the truth when it needs to be acted out. And so, as we discipline ourselves, then as we walk in obedience to Him, then we become very useful to the kingdom of God. And because we then are disciplined, because we are then a person of God, and we are then becoming useful to God, God will give us even more power and more strength, more confidence, more abilities. We'll be able to do things that we never even thought we could do. God will put us in positions or situations that we are not prepared for, but He says not to worry about that. I'll give you the words to say when you get there. I'll give you that ability. Only a disciplined person, only a disciplined body can enable themselves to be used by God. We see, that's our part. We have to, as we deny ourselves, discipline ourselves, however you want to look at it, the self, the flesh, and we dedicate ourselves to God, that's our part to do. Then we make the place a place where God can live then by His Spirit. And then His power is released. His love is released. His forgiveness. All kinds of good things. An undisciplined body, just like an undisciplined child, will rebel against godly authority. Doesn't want anything to do with it, unless it just puts on a false front. An undisciplined life will lead us away from God. It really will. And towards chaos, towards destruction. So we have to ask ourselves, do we love God enough? Do we love ourselves enough to discipline ourselves? God disciplines those He loves. He disciplines us because He loves us. Do we love ourselves? We're supposed to love ourselves as our neighbor. We're supposed to love ourselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the other laws and commandments hang on these two things. So if we love ourselves as God loves us, then we should discipline ourselves because we want the best for ourselves. We should, right? So a disciplined life will always lead us towards God. It'll lead us to better places, to better things, to more success, more blessing, more joy, more peace. If we discipline ourselves towards Christ, if we are His disciple, I'm talking about. I mean, somebody could be disciplined and not care about God at all and just be very disciplined in their routines. I'm talking about being disciplined under the truth of God, becoming a disciple of Christ. That's what we're talking about. So it'll bring us to places that we've never been before, to levels we've never reached. We'll grow beyond our expectations. And it will bring us to a place of obedience and righteousness. It'll lead us down the path of righteousness for His name's sake. It's a good thing to be disciplined. It'll help us to renew our mind and be transformed. And that's what we've been talking about. Into His, 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we can be transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So as we submit ourselves to the authority of Christ, as we say, God, I want to be under You. I want You to be, you know, like in the old days back then, they would say, teacher, train us. And they called Jesus teacher. And then He called His people disciples. They were disciples. They were the ones who were learning to become like Him. So we call ourselves Christians, but we could just as easily say disciples of Christ. Right? And so that's who we claim to be. We claim to be Christians. We're saying, I want to be a disciple of Christ. If we want to be a disciple of Christ, we need to walk under His authority, under His discipline. We're still, as adults, needing to be disciplined. And the Word of Christ, the Word of God, the power of God is what disciplines us and leads us on the right path, the straight path. And when we do that, tremendous things are going to happen in our life. You're going to find yourself growing faster than you thought, going farther than you thought, receiving more insight, more wisdom, that heavenly wisdom, not the earthly wisdom. You're going to be able to affect people's lives for good. You're going to be able to know with an assurance that you are on your way to heaven. You're going to know that you can help other lead other people to the Lord and to heaven. A lot of good stuff. Peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, a joy beyond belief. All this is there for those who say, okay, I'm not going to do things my way. I'm going to do things His way. I'm going to become a real disciple of Christ. I'm going to lead a disciplined life. And just one example, even in the natural, somebody says, oh, discipline, I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to, like, you know, have a budget and, you know, do this and do that. That's too disciplined for me. Well, okay, you get a budget. It's not to restrict your spending. It's to show you where you can spend, how to spend. You can also set aside savings then, so then the next year, maybe you could take a trip to Jamaica or the Bahamas or to Europe or wherever you want to go. But if you're undisciplined and you spend all your money and you're always in debt, you can't even get a good credit card. your rates are higher. If you got a bad credit rating, your rates go higher in everything. You get disciplined in your spending, you pay off your bills on time, your credit rating goes up, you can do more things. You can be blessed. That's in the natural. I'm just showing you in the natural how it works to be disciplined. You actually can have more fun then just by doing things the right way. There doesn't have to be any drudgery about it. No downcast face. That's not what we're talking about. You know, as a Christian, we can be, and we should be the life of the party, but we don't even need to get drunk. We don't need to get high. But we can still be, you know, full of life and full of joy. That should be ours inside of us all the time. The joy of our salvation. If nothing else, if we never got anything else in all of our life, but we know we're saved, we know we're going to heaven, that's enough. But the truth is we get a lot more. We are filled with blessings to the brim. More than we can ask for or imagine, according to God's word, is in store for us. So let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for every good gift that comes our way, Lord. Your word tells us that every good gift comes down from heaven from you. And Lord, I pray that we as your people, as Christians, as your disciples, would recognize that we ourselves need to be disciplined by your word, your truth, your Holy Spirit. That we need to be trained in righteousness so that we can walk in the fullness of your blessing, so that we can walk in the fullness of your power, so that we can enjoy the peace, the love that comes from you, so that we can make a difference in our world for good, so that we can be world changers. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. We thank you for your spirit, Lord God. We thank you for all things. We give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. We have coffee and donuts upstairs, so don't forget Meeting for Vacation Bible School up in the Junior Youth Room. 15 minutes or less, according to Brian, he promised us.